When we discuss the illegal wildlife trade, the focus is most often on rhinos, elephants, tigers. But the mammal that is the biggest victim of the illegal trading is one you've probably never heard of. Well, I hadn't anyway. It's called the pangolin. It's quite an incredible creature found in woodlands and savannas in Asia and Africa, which has gathered some attention in recent times, largely thanks to David Attenborough, who first came into contact with the pangolin in Bali under some very interesting circumstances.
It was back in 1956, and we were making a film in Bali and also collecting animals for the London Zoo. And one day a man came to us with a pangolin in a sack. I didn't really want a pangolin because they have a very specialised diet, so they don't live well in zoos. So I asked the man what he would do if we didn't buy it, and he said, oh, well, we'd eat it. And the scales, he said, are very good for medicine. So I said, OK, I'll buy it. And we had it for a couple of days or so, trundling about, eating termites, and a very engaging little creature it was too. And then after a couple of days, one night, we let it go. I hope he survived.
Oh, David Attenborough talking about his first encounter with a pangolin, who he later described as one of the most endearing creatures he's ever come across. This Saturday is World Pangolin Day, raising awareness about the species and the impact of the illegal wildlife trade on its population. Joining us now is Risha Kotalasan, founder and director of Project Pangolin. Risha, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Now, Risha, I've got this picture of the pangolin in front of me. It's a remarkable-looking species. How would you describe it visually?
Well, if you can imagine something shaped like an anteater with a long snout and a curved body, but covered with scales that actually look and feel like thumbnails, they have very long claws and, like I said, a very long tail. So they are definitely an extraordinary-looking animal. Very small ears and very expressive eyes.
Very small ears, very, very, very long tongue, which we'll go into in a minute. But I can't tell from these images how small it is, how large or small it is.
Well, there's 8 species of pangolin, and the smallest species is the long-tailed pangolin, which is also called the black-bellied pangolin, which is about the size of a small house cat. But then the largest pangolin species, which is the giant ground pangolin, is actually about the size of, say, a medium-sized dog.
I have often heard that when I've been reading about them, since I only heard about the pangolin yesterday, I've never heard of one, but they're often likened to a dragon. I'm not sure why that is, but these scales, why does such a little creature have such heavy-duty scales? What's this for?
Well, the scales protect the pangolin from the elements, from insects, especially they do eat all sorts of insects, in particular ants, biting ants, and the pangolins serve to protect them from all these things that they're doing. And they can also voluntarily close off their ears so that insects and ants can't get into their ears while they're feeding.
So in a sense, the scales, which is their most remarkable feature, are also their downfall, apparently. We're just hearing David Attenborough there, and someone told him they're used for medicinal purposes. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, unfortunately, pangolin scales have been used in traditional Chinese medicine for centuries. They're a bit of a thought to be a bit of a cure-all for all sorts of things, but all that stuff is unproven. The scales are just, like I said, they're made out of keratin, the same substance that our fingernails are made out of, horse hooves, rhino horns, that sort of thing. And obviously there's just no medicinal benefit to consuming any of those items.
How large is the trade, the illegal trade in the pangolin? How many are killed every year?
Well, since it's illegal, we wouldn't be able to get an exact number, but what we can do is get an estimate based on seizures. If we look at 2012, for example, and we look at the number of pangolins just in seizures, we can estimate that as many as 60,000 pangolins died in 2012 as a result of the illegal trade, the demand for the scales, like we talked about, but also the flesh and the fetuses are eaten as delicacies.
And did you say 60,000, 60?
Yes. Tens of thousands.
That's an enormous number. How many, do we know how many pangolins are left in the wild?
No, unfortunately, this species is not, has not yet been studied extensively, so there isn't an exact, a reliable estimate for these animals in the wild. But what we do know is, based on the trade, that all the species are in decline.
Well, Risha, it sounds as though it's a good thing you're bringing this, the plight of the pangolin, to the world in the second World Pangolin Day. Thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Well, thank you very much.
Risha Kota-Larsen is founder and director of Project Pangolin, and the aim of World Pangolin Day is really to raise consciousness about this little creature. If you want to have a look at it, we'll put an image up of a pangolin on the website, the RN Breakfast website, as well as some information on World Pangolin Day.